all our lives, a person, an individual, a human being in his mind, different thoughts arise. Different thoughts, thinking, they revolve and rotate in the mind of a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a system in the mind, in the brain of the human being, that he doesn't know what is going to come into his mind. He doesn't know what he's going to think. Then he starts to think of something. But his brain, it functions and gives him messages and hints. And within these thoughts and this thinking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special rahmah, grace and blessings when they descend on a person. Rather, if I say that every believer, Allah ta'ala brings a moment, a window of opportunity in any time of his life or her life, that due to the barakah of iman that Allah ta'ala has given to that person, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once definitely in the heart of that person during his lifetime instills that thought, that yearning. And what is that thought that is instilled? That while a person sitting, he through the feelings in the heart, emotions, and a sudden, you can say, thought emanates, a proper thought, a jolt, sudden jerk that, oh, I should become good, you know. I need to repent. I need to think about death. He starts to worry about maut, about death. That I need to start following the right way, the right path. I need to get back on track. That's it. When these thoughts or this thinking or this thought comes into the mind of a person, the elders in Islam state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality has opened up a big, big and great path for that person. Because to have this thinking itself is a mammoth occasion. It's a mammoth occasion because we don't have time. Left, right, forwards, backwards, shaitan, nafs has circumambulated us, it's rotated around us, it's around us, we are shackled, we are chained, everything is sealed, our thoughts, our heart, the thought doesn't even come into our minds. So when a thought like this comes into a person, wahid, solely it's due to the fadl of Allah, Allah's blessing. This is not some minor, brothers, understand, this is the big reward of Allah. For a human being to think this for a few moments, for a few seconds, and this is reality, I'm telling you the truth. Don't think this is something that is not significant. It's so significant. It's extremely significant that we cannot imagine how significant are those moments when a man sits and he thinks about Tawbah. In his whole life, he's got that jerk, that flash of thinking, the flash of iman that comes into his mind and heart. That when that thought comes, what should you do? Alert. Suddenly he should become alert. And don't think that these moments and seconds are minor, because where have they come from? Bi-idhnillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers that message to the person's brain. No power of the world can create these thoughts in your mind. Many conditions can come, many moments come, I tell you. But this thought of tawbah and I need to get back on track, only Allah can send this to a person's brain. Nobody else can. So when you start thinking like this, even if it's 10 minutes before death, become alert, spring up. Allah is giving His karam to me. He's given me a chance. And what do we do? Oh, we bypass this thought. It comes, we bypass it. We put it to the side. Oh, I don't know where these thoughts have come. Oh, I was walking down the road and I suddenly thought this. Oh, forget it. It's not for me. Don't do this. Those people who grab those thoughts when they come and say, Allah, it's from you. Why has this come in my heart to become pious? Why have I suddenly thought that I need to start praying salah? Why have I suddenly thought that I need to start going to the masjid? Why is it suddenly now I'm thinking about doing good deeds and leaving the sins? The messages are coming in the person's mind, in his heart. He starts thinking. Then he shakes himself. And then he forgets and goes back to his old ways. But here, Allah Ta'ala gives power to the individual. Remember this point. Allah Ta'ala says, I've done this enough for you. This is my favor on you to instill the thoughts into your mind, into your heart. Then it's your choice. Some people say, oh, if Allah wants, why doesn't He make me pious? Allah can. Allah Ta'ala can. That there can be anybody in the universe, Allah Ta'ala, if He wills, within seconds, He could change everyone's fortunes to become believers. وَمَا ذَلِكَ بِهِ Allah Ta'ala says that everything is in my grip. But Allah Ta'ala gives us the freedom of will, right and left. It's our choice. For here, until the point Allah Ta'ala's grace comes to us and we think and we get that choice, and Allah Ta'ala says, let me give him the choice to stop going towards Jahannam. But then it's in your power, in your hands. Do you want to carry on down that wrong path, or do you want to come onto the tracks? So Allah Ta'ala's karam comes to this point that a man thinks about he, and the person who catches these thoughts and takes advantage of them, alhamdulillah, all of you, mashallah, you will have had this opportunity in life. Alhamdulillah, I grabbed that opportunity. Alhamdulillah. So what happens? Then the person thinks, I should become good, I should come towards good, I should leave the bad. And he grabs that thinking. The person who has a good fortune. Then Allah Ta'ala's next karam comes onto him. What? Allah Ta'ala says that this person has appreciated the thought I've instilled into his heart and mind, and he's grabbed it firmly. Now I will take him towards the path. Then Allah Ta'ala says, what do I say to him? I take you to hidayah, to the guidance path. Then first thought came, shall I change? I should be better. You grab it, you appreciate. Then Allah says, then he makes you more go towards the good. Allah Ta'ala says, now let's see what he decides. Does he get scared? Oh, it's too hard for me. What will I do? It's too much pressure. Allah Ta'ala says, I see. Then I says, alhamdulillah, don't give no guidance to that person. See which way he goes. When he takes hold of the taste of iman and he comes to the positive, and then he's successful, and the person says, no, I need to do something. I need to take some steps. Suddenly Allah's rahmah goes forth again. Allah Ta'ala shows that person the physical path that I will help you. Okay, fine. You had courage and bravery. Now I will show you the goodness. So first thing, never reject the thought when it comes into your brain. Never think it's a minor. Stand up, alert. Alert. And then he has to tread the soft path, the delicate path. There are many paths, many ways, many choices. A person's immersed in sins. Allah knows what kind of sins we all have done and the conditions that are surrounding us. Then if I think, oh, I have to finish my dunya, my sins, I have to make a big plan for hidayah. What shall I do? Where shall I go? Who will guide me? Where shall I start from? Where shall I start ibadah from? He starts getting confused. And then in this situation, when people start to want to do tawbah, they get confused. Where will I get guidance from? There are different ways and methods. Who shall I go to? Where shall I go? Where shall I start from? Which ibadah? Who shall I get guidance from? Who shall I see as a role model? Allah Ta'ala gives the guidance at that time in the Quran. For people like us, who have so many sins to their names, to our names, Allah Ta'ala says, doesn't matter. First thing you have to do to take hold of guidance, you have to have courage. And the first step you have to take, Allah Ta'ala says, the first step is what? Grab the path of Islam. And this path that is being defined, who is telling us this? Allah Ta'ala is telling us this. Allah is guiding us via the Quran. Don't worry. Allah says, I'll guide you. Whatever I tell you, you do it. Don't be distressed. Just do what I'm telling you, Allah says. So Allah Ta'ala defines that path in the Quran. When you start to think about coming to the good, Allah then defines the path. يَقُولُ مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Little piece of advice. Doesn't matter how you are, what position you're in. Just do this, Allah says. Just do this action. What? Don't think. Don't get confused. كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Go to the good, pious, wali of Allah people. Sit with them. Spend time with them. You'll get salah from their deen and knowledge and ilm. Everything will flood into your life. But just have courage. Do what first? Go to the company of good people. When you sit in the company of good people, the awliya Allah, the wali Allah, then Allah's karam and mercy will descend. That environment is such a place. After that, for that person to practice the deen becomes so easy and sahl. Sahl for that person. Why? Because he is following the guidance of Allah Ta'ala's verse. Look, it's a big topic. The big ni'mas Allah Ta'ala puts in the company of the pious people. And then you don't need to look anywhere else for hidayah. Because Allah Ta'ala has given you the prescription and you followed that method. So suddenly Allah Ta'ala says the guidance will flood into your life physically. So as soon as you go and take the company of the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, pious people, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim will become easy for you. The straight path. So this company of piety will never go to waste. You will never lose in this dunya the hereafter due to having the company of the pious, and you will never come off the tracks and you will reach your destination. This is Allah's promise. You do what I say and you will get what you need to. And this is the easy way to follow the deen of Islam for sinners like us. There's nothing to worry about. Just control the first initial jerk of the thought that comes to you. Grab that. I remember an event that's written in the kitabs. Historical, there was a great elder, pious predecessor, Hazrat Ali Khalqawas, rahmatullah alayhi. He was, mashallah, great sheikh, top elder. I can't remember the year at this moment in time. So he was on the struggle and effort. The struggle and effort in those days was good. solid mujahada those people used to do. And you will have read this in the kitabs, their efforts going into isolation, forests, jungles, traveling far and wide to get guidance, physical efforts, sweat to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness and love. This is what we want to do, isn't it? We were all trying to do what we're doing to attain Allah's nearness, isn't it? So in those days and in those generations, Allah put mujahidat, people used to travel through jungles and desert, dust, hardship to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Today, it's so easy for us. Even today, there is mujahada. There is struggle, the same struggle, but we can't even do that. We can't even spend time and energy to try to get close to Allah. Oh, we're scared of going from this place to Makki Masjid. Yeah? From Derby Street to Makki Masjid. We're coming from where? Derby Street. Let's go a bit closer. Let's come to this area now. From this house, this number door to come to the Masjid. Why? Because it's dhikr of Allah. And what is the meaning of dhikr? The Quran tells us. It's the path Allah Ta'ala has defined. Allah Ta'ala has recommended. This is the path Allah Ta'ala has recommended. And through the path of dhikr, you will attain guidance guaranteed, Allah Ta'ala says. Guaranteed. And what do we say? Ah, oh, can't do mujahida, I'm scared. Derby Street to here. Even that, thousands of excuses. Oh, shall I go? Shall I not go? It's going to take how long to get there? And Fajr, there's less people or more people. See this issue. This mujahida we can't even do. We can't even make this happen. We want to attain Allah. That same Ali bin Khawas, rahmatullahi, who was traveling through the desert to attain Allah's nearness, and we can't even go a kilometer. We got technology, the speakers and computer and the online connection which is reaching to the homes. And this is our mujahida. We can't even do this. We can't even connect to listen. And this dhikr goes to the ears of the women. This is a great dhikr. This dhikr that I do in front of you, this is dhikr coming from the 14th centuries. As Azabuddin Naqshband, rahmatullah alayh, great dhikr used to do with mujahid. This dhikr I do with you, this is called Khatam al-Khawaj Ghan. This is not some dhikr I formulated, made up. This is coming from the generations. It's included in the mujahidat to recite these kalama, these verses in the gathering, in the majlis, to remember Allah, to recite the verses. This is a big, big power. And people used to travel thousands of miles. The sheikh is sitting there, who's remembering Allah. Let's go and sit in his company. You've heard, Qunu ma'as sadiqeen. And this is where we will attain Allah's nearness, in the company of the Wali Zalam. What do we say? I know there's dhikr in another masjid. I'm sitting here and I can't even go to the masjid in the other locality, just a kilometer or two away. And we can't do mujahada. We have the same desire. We want Allah to be close to us in our hearts. Hazrat Ali bin Khawas, rahmatullahi, he used to travel many hundreds of miles to sit in good company to learn deen. And we've got technology beamed into our rooms, front rooms, homes, women, and they're sitting at home listening to dhikr. They get the same reward, the same wilayat, the same closeness to Allah, the same jannah, where we will go, the men, the women go. And the women, their mujahada is easy. But what do they say? Oh, it's even hard for them to hear this. How can we switch off the other thing that's happening in parallel? How do we switch off those clips? No, I have to give the bath to the kids, make food, and I have to put the kids to bed, and the dhikr is happening on the other side. And they're not even able to connect. And we call this mujahida, and we want to get close to Allah. We can't even do a few minutes of effort. Look at our situation. Physically, we don't want to do nothing. What will be our situation on the Day of Judgment? When the pious predecessors spend weeks and months traveling. Let's go 60, 70 years back now. The dhikr that I learnt. How did I learn dhikr? I know that how much I had to make effort to learn this dhikr. It wasn't in Derby Street to Makki Masjid. Now even that time there was mujahida. 40, 50 years ago when I met my sheikh, and I used to go to visit my sheikh to sit in his company, the mujahida I used to do, even that was severe in that day and age, a few decades ago. Now, nothing on a plate comes to home. Phone, Hazrat, come, Pakistan, there are people sitting, can you come to this masjid? Or we'll send them a ticket to fly here. People are coming themselves by flight, easy, walking them, we're begging. Have I got ijazat? Can I do dhikr here? No, I'll tell you tomorrow, we'll have a meeting. The masjid committee says, the masjid is for the dhikr wala. We're asking, can we do dhikr? And there's no meeting. And from Pakistan, they are coming to teach the name of Allah. From Pakistan they come. The individual comes. He asks for permission. Can I do dhikr in the masjid? And the committee says, we'll think about it and tell you tomorrow. So sadness. How sad. We think about giving permission to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do a majlis. Allah's given the advice in the Quran. We think about it. Khair. Going back to what I was saying. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Ali Al-Khawas, rahmatullahi, was traveling, doing mujahida, struggling, made effort. And in the journey, an individual came in front of him and said to him, He was a bit shocked. Where's this man come from? In the jungle, forest, in the wilderness. He said, who are you? Where have you come from? He said, I was looking for you. I am now here to you. He said, why have you come to seek me? He said, Hazrat, give me permission that some days I want to keep your company. Sohbat, unu ma'as-sadiqin, Allah says in the Quran. Take the company of the good people. Hazrat Ali bin Qasim said, you want to keep my company? He said, yes, you are wali Allah, you are sheikh, you are pious. For a few days, give me permission. I can spend time with you because I've traveled far to get to you and your company. Please don't reject me. Don't deny me. Please keep me with yourself for a few days, Hazrat. So Hazrat thought for a few moments and said, after thinking, he said, look, if you want to travel with me, it'll be difficult for you. If you want to stay with me, in my company, I don't have no food, no water. You won't be able to struggle with me. You'll be problems for you, the sheikh's telling that person. You'll have to have courage, determination. He said, I'm determined, don't worry, I've got courage. Just give me permission, I will be with you, whatever happens, highs and lows. He had niyyah, he had intention. What was the first thing? Allah Ta'ala said, I instilled into his mind the thought that you need to change your ways. So he thought, I need to change my ways. I need to change my ways. And he get onto the track. Then he found the company. He said, okay, wait, let me pay attention to Allah. Ask Allah, do istikhara. Who are you that has come to me? So he did istikhara. Then the man was a bit trembled. He said, look, when I did istikhara, a unique point came to mind. You're not even a Muslim. You're not even a Muslim. What are you going to do with me? You don't even have iman in your heart. He said, please give me permission. What difference does it make to you? Just let me travel with you for a little bit, even if I'm not a believer. What loss is it for you if I'm with you? That just take this person with you. What's going to happen to you? Nothing. You're not going to lose out. He said, okay, fine. You travel with me then. Spend some time with me. 8-10 days passed. 1.5 weeks passed. His time elapsed. There was no food, water, struggle, energy. He said, Hazrat, I can't travel with you anymore. It's difficult, this journey. I can't even take one step forward. I'm thirsty, hungry. You said it was difficult. But the Hazrat said to him, but you said you're going to travel with me. He said, I had that intention in my heart. What can I do? I'm struggling. I'm telling you my physical hal. It's hard for me to travel with you. There are hardships, no food, no water. Prepare some water for me. Otherwise, I've got to go. I'm going to have to leave you. Hazrat said, look, it's too difficult. You've made hardship for me. He said, okay, khair, what can we do? He did wudu. He did sajda to Allah. And he requested to Allah, Allah, this individual doesn't believe in you and he's asking me to ask you. So Allah, you are my Rabb. You are the Khaliq, Mutalik, Allah. That please don't make me ashamed in front of him. Please prepare something. Please. Don't make me ashamed in front of him that I can't help him. That's it. He did dua. He lifted his head up from the sajda. And he saw from the heavens a tray descended. And that tray was 2 glasses of sherbet drink and 2 pieces of bread, chapati. Subhanallah. He said, Allah. He said, here, you eat. 1 glass of sherbet for you and bread, and 1 glass for me and bread for me. They ate and drank and then they carried on. Then as the journey continued, then another condition came. And then he was struggling again, that man. He couldn't travel anymore. He was hungry, thirsty. He said, Hazrat, the struggle's come again. It's difficult for me. My fuse has blown. I can't travel anymore. It's too difficult. What can I do? I'm weak and frail. I can't go back. I can't go forward. Prepare something for me, please. Prepare. So Hazrat, the Sheikh said, look, again, every moment, every day, you're going to stop and ask for this. How can I detach from this person? He's not going to be able to travel me. He said, there's only one way. I'll tell him, look, what I had to do, I've done. I've demonstrated to you. Now, you must have something in your mazhab, in your deen, some leader. So you ask from your Rabb. I can't ask you. I give you the situation now. You ask. He said, is it? So he went into sajda, copying the sheikh. And as Ali Kawas is thinking, now let's see what he does in sajda. He's going to get nothing. He's going to realize what he is. What's he going to attain? What's Allah going to give to him? He doesn't have any iman in his heart. So as soon as he picked his head up from sajda, then what happened? A big tray came down from the heavens. Instead of 2, there were 4 glasses of sherbet and 4 pieces of bread. Hazrat Ali bin Khawas rahmatullah was shocked. He said, huh? 4 pieces of bread? He said, Hazrat, hey, the food's come. Eat and drink. And the Hazrat said, I can't eat this food. He said, why? He said, for this reason, that this is not a miracle. This is a vision. This is a test. You don't believe in Allah. So this thing that's descended, this is istidraj, it's not miracle. And istidraj is haram. It's not from Allah. This is unlawful for me to eat. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He thought that man, that he's speaking a high level talk here, Hazrat. Now here a point comes out, nice point. The wali of Allah, his sign, look at the sign. Istidraj and karamat, they are two opposite things. Karamat, miracle, and istidraj, you think they're the same because they look the same, but they're opposite. Remember this. Today, in this day and age, the people who are deceived, as soon as we see something in a man, some sort of supernatural quality, we don't say he's small. We say, oh, he's a wali Allah. Oh, he's reached the heights. Oh, he's close to Allah. He tells you what people don't know. He'll show you the unseen. And I've seen big, big people who do dhikr, dhakirin, who have big high maqam. They get scared and they rush to those people who show them supernatural powers. They give us ta'weez, cure our issues. Help us, oh friends of Allah, I ask you. If through that person, yes, your du'as have been accepted, maybe. Maybe, because he's utilizing istidraj, the opposite forces. It's not from Allah. It's istidraj, it's deception, it's delusion. This qissa is present in the Quran, this event has a Musa alayhi salam. When there were magicians who made the serpents, the snakes, you could see the snakes, the serpents, they were there. But what was that? Istidraj, it was a mirage. It was a vision, it was a reality. It was a link to Iman. And when the asal came from Musa alayhi salam with Iman, and that serpent consumed all of those mirages. So Iman should be strong. When you see wrong coming out of evil or good coming out of evil, it's istidraj. It's not haqq. So look at Sharia and Deen. When from that place or person goodness comes, then it's fine. But don't make a person wali of Allah when that person's on the negative path and from evil comes goodness. Oh, that person did dua for me, my shop ran, my son, I had a son, or he took jinns out of this person, he did magic. No. This is istidraj and is haram, unlawful. What is karamat? Opposite. Further, I'll go in this verse and I'll explain. Then you'll see the difference. That what is the wali of Allah? So he said that, I can't eat this, this is istidraj, it's unlawful. So the individual, he said, Hazrat, please eat. I'm trying. That when I went in sajda, prostration, then I made two requests. I said, Ya Allah, if Islam is true religion and the right religion, then due to this, give both of us two glass sherbet and two pieces of bread. And the second prayer I made, Allah, if this individual is your wali wala and your friend, then due to his company, give me two pieces of bread and two glasses of sherbet. So congratulations on these two requests, O Hazrat, that you are the wali and you have got the glad tiding of wilayat and I've got the glad tiding of iman. So eat, Hazrat, this is halal. Allah's given to us. Aha, this is a great event. Look at this. Huh? We should learn from this. Allah says, "Qunu ma'as sadiqeen." Go to the good people, pious people. Definitely will rub off. He didn't have iman. He was not a Muslim. He was impure. Doesn't matter how impure a person is. But if he has a niyyah, positive niyyah, intention, he has a thought Allah has instilled in his mind, and he says, I've got to grab this opportunity. He goes to the company of the wali Allah, the pious people, any good people, and he goes with this intention. I want to become good when I spend time with these people. So if a non-believer became good, then will the person who has iman already in the heart not be corrected and improved? This is Allah's hukm, Allah's power. But what's the difference here? What's the difference here? 2 points we learn from it. Allah Ta'ala says, "Qunu ma'as sadiqeen." So when we go to the pious company after hearing this, he should not be a wali. Doesn't have to be wali. Allah Ta'ala didn't say wali in this verse. Allah has called the name sadiqeen, not wali. Allah hasn't said wali in this verse. "Qunu ma'as sadiqeen." So when we think about goodness, we need to go to a person who is sadiq. The sadiqin, what's the meaning of sadiq person? The mufassirin, the commentators of the Quran, what translation commentary have they given about sadiqin? The meaning of sadiq is that person who imitates and obeys the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person who's living his life in accordance with the sunnah is the sadiq. Who's a sadiqin, in whose life his tariqah, when a thought comes in my mind, I want to be true, honest, and I want to be a good, honest person. This thought has come into my heart. And then I start walking, looking. I have to seek who? A friend of Allah. What's the condition of the sadiq? The criteria? That individual who I'm going to look for, the pious person, has to be imitating Rasulullah. Any person, if I seek guidance from a person, then I don't get impressed by anything in his life. Any praise, any glory that comes from that person or his rank, his darajat, I'm not going to get affected or attracted by that. I'm going to get attracted by one sign from a person. Is this person 100% obeying the sunnah of Rasulullah. So remember, the Quran tells us this. Always when you're seeking guidance, don't look at anything. Doesn't matter how many millions of people are praising him, his status, his glory. Doesn't matter what the dunya is saying about that person. But what do you have to look at in that person's life? Is there imitation of the sunnah in this person's life? Is he obeying the sunnah of Rasulullah in this person's life? This is the first condition in the Quran. When you have a niyam, when you look for the guidance criteria, first, number one, spend time with that person. With that person, sit with him 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Spend time in that person's company and look for one sign. What is you going to look for? That in this person's life, the actions, his thoughts, his words, his statements, are they all according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is his life inward, outward, home, outside, according to the sunnah? Doesn't matter if you see no miracles, no supernatural statements, no seat or connection with the walis back to the sahaba, or people aren't praising him, or people aren't running after him, there's no clamor and noise, but you see ittiba of sunnah. Is every action is according to the sunnah? Close your eyes. Allah Ta'ala says, you put your hand out, and Allah says, I will give you Jannah, paradise. That's it. That's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us, given us an easy path to become good. Is it difficult? Tell me. What do? We do two things and take deception. One deception we take, delusion, or is that we start following the path to become good, then our niyyah becomes weak. Yeah, we even get to the company of good, pious company, a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. But if we don't have niyyah, then you won't be successful. If you don't have the niyyah, you won't be successful. Even then you see people, brothers who come, good walis of Allah, people sit there 40, 50 years, 30 years in their company, and they still leave their company unsuccessful. Why? Because he didn't have the niyyah to leave dunya, to leave materialism, and to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness. So when you are going, you should make niyyah. Whatever he guides me, whatever he likes, I will do. Whatever he doesn't, I'll bypass, he says. Eh? So when I come and sit down, get up, sit down, get up, this is not sohbat. Whatever takes the fancy to my nafs, I'll do. Whatever doesn't take fancy to my nafs, I'll leave. No. Sohbat. What did the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, do? When they came to Rasulullah's company, whatever he said, they did. Whatever he told them to do, stop, they stopped. This is sohbat. No complaints, criticism, why do I have to, etc. You go to the wali wala's company, think, whatever my sheikh, whatever he tells me, direction, guidance, I will do it. Whatever he tells me to leave, I will leave. Doesn't matter how much loss there is in leaving that action, because the bigger loss will come in Jahannam's fire, brothers. So you have to get free from that by following the instruction of the pious person. So two things, if you take them in your life, correct niyyah to become good, and get to the company of a sadiq who is imitating the sunnah, then see the great success you'll have in your life. Salah won't be hard for you, fasting won't be hard for you, hajj won't be hard for you, tahajjud won't be hard for you, to leave haram won't be hard for you, to have halal earnings will not be hard for you, to leave haram earnings to go to halal earnings won't be hard for you. Everything will become sahal, easy, because Allah says, I will help you, wajadu fina, Allah Ta'ala says, subulana, Allah says, I'm with the mursaleen. Have courage, have drive and determination. If I give you the niyyah, then Allah says, have courage, go on that path, and I will take you to success. Definitely, most verily, Allah Ta'ala says, reality, the situation is that I prefer, mahbub, I keep your action beloved, that you take hold of my nasiha and you go on a path to get to the pious company. So brothers, this is the life, don't waste life. Thoughts will come, good thoughts in your life to become good, but there are ways to become good. First, correct your niyyah. Be firm in your niyyah. And then if you get to the pious company, don't have drama play out in your life. All your life you'll play and play and play, you won't gain. Don't play games. Do those actions. If the sheikh says, ittiba sunnah, practice the sunnah, then follow it. Then this is the sadiqeen you've gone to. And the color should come out to you, the form, the practice, that is the practice of the form of the teacher. Look at the sahaba ikram. The color and the form, the practice should come just like the sahaba imitated, just like he ate and walked and spoke and everything. All of the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, every one of their actions was in accordance with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And where we come off track and don't practice, we should consider it's my mistake, not my sheikh's mistake, no Hazrat's mistake. Close your eyes, close your ears. However Allah Ta'ala sent you to the guidance, follow that guidance and don't look left and right, don't complain. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I am Allah, and you won't be far from me. Allah says, when you seek me, I am closer to you than your jugular vein. I'm not far from you, closer than your jugular vein. But you need to have the effort. Allah says, I'm present with you. May Allah Ta'ala make us honest and give us the tawfiq to practice the right path. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.